Welcome to the Daily Actor Podcast. I'm Lance Carter, and in this episode, I'm talking to Chris Henry Coffey. Chris is making his Broadway debut in the new play Bronx Bombers. It's about the New York Yankees and follows Yogi Berra and his wife through almost 100 years of Yankees highs and lows. It also brings together some of their most legendary players like Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Lou Gehrig, Derek Jeter, and Joe DiMaggio. Chris, who plays DiMaggio, is originally from Green Bay and went to school at Yale. After that, he moved to New York, and as he told me, he's been pounding the pavement for a lot of years. That's not to mean that he wasn't working, because he's done a bunch of off-Broadway shows, commercials, TV, and films. Most notably, he was in a film called Trust, directed by David Schwimmer. And he also teaches acting. As you're going to find out in the interview, he's a genuinely nice guy. He's talented, and I got to say that I'm honestly so happy for him. You'll hear him talk about how he got the part, his research on DiMaggio, the first time he stepped on stage for preview night, and tons more. It's really, really a great interview, and I can't wait for you to hear it. And now a few plugs. If you need a website, casting director mailing labels, career coaching, lists of headshot photographers in your area, we've got all of that and more. Head on over to dailyactor.com. And now, here's Chris.
Where are you located?
I go between L.A. and San Diego. Right now I'm in San Diego. And I saw that you worked at the Old Globe.
Yeah, I was just going to mention I was down there a couple years ago doing a play, and man, I fell in love with that area down there. Oh,
the Old Globe incredible. Is great, isn't it?
It is amazing. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, the housing is about a mile or so walk from the theater, but you literally walk through the San Diego Zoo, through Balboa Park. It feels like you're walking through the Garden of Eden every day at work. It was like, okay, I can get used to this.
Yeah, that's, I would love to get some kind of, you know, job there. Even like saying one line on stage, you know, just to say I've done it, it seems like a fantastic gig, you know?
Well, and I was very fortunate that particular job was an Arthur Miller play while he was still alive and he was still working on the play. So he came down to San Diego and we worked on it with him for about 3 weeks. And it was just before he died, like a year before he died. And it was one of the last things he'd been working on. So it was a real, incredible opportunity for an actor, as you can imagine. But he was so unbelievably charming and very with it, and you had to be on your toes, even at, I think he was 89 at the time, and just so sharp as a tack, and I kind of like, what you would expect him to be in his prime, but he was still that sort of guy, just knowing that he had a certain amount of time, but, you know, just had so many stories to tell, and yeah, really, really larger than life type of character.
Like when you first, first met him, were you sort of nervous and like, I don't want to say anything stupid to him, you know, I would do.
Yeah, it was very intimidating, of course. You're like, I don't even know where to begin. But thankfully you have the work to be able to focus on and just be like, let's use that as a vehicle. And he was very disarming as well. There was, it never felt like he wasn't, you know, ready to listen to you or just be available. And I mean, he wasn't a big sort of small talker in that way, but just very open guy.
Yeah.
He was really cool. Cool.
Yeah, that would be just such a great opportunity just to meet him, man.
Yeah.
So this is your Broadway debut, right?
It is, yeah.
You know, I was thinking the other day, I have friends who are like having kids, and when they tell me, you know, oh, we're pregnant, I pretend to be, you know, like all excited for them. Oh, great, that's great, I'm so happy for you.
Okay.
But I really could honestly care less. But when somebody is telling me like they're making their Broadway debut, I'm like ecstatic for them, you know? So congrats on that.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate that. Yeah, it's huge. I won't deny it. I mean, I've been pounding the pavement, you know, for a lot of years and, you know, kind of crossing over into TV and film and commercials, voiceovers, teaching. But, you know, there's always that pinnacle that you sort of are looking at and hoping to get invited to someday. And it finally showed up.
But you also played this role off Broadway too.
Yeah, and I mean, I tell you, this is it's such a classic actor story of, I mean, of all the auditions one goes on throughout one's career, you never know where these jobs come from, and it's kind of cliche to say, like, you just never know, you know, where it's going to come from. And this was a classic case of, I got a call to do a workshop in the mountains of Colorado over the summer in
wow.
Steamboat Springs.
Oh, nice.
And, and there's this wonderful little, it's kind of a summer camp for art students and dancers and actors. And for 1 week out of the summer, some major regional theaters around the country come in and do some development work for new plays. So it's called Perry Mansfield, the Perry Mansfield, I guess Perry Mansfield Festival. But in any case, they called me about this play, Bronx Bombers, which eventually, you know, less than a year later is on Broadway, which, you know, so I didn't even audition for the thing, which is amazing.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where you, like, you go through so many ups and downs with the auditioning world, and you think, which one is going to be the one that hits? And then, of course, some little workshop in the middle of nowhere.
That's amazing, though. Yeah. I mean, that's like a perfect story.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, there were many opportunities for them to replace me, and so there was a lot of things that had to happen as well, but... yeah, you know, it's been a really interesting journey, and we did a version of the play off Broadway. There was some recasting, in between, and the play was still being developed as well. So yeah, I think it's in really great shape right now. The lead actor who's playing, well, do you know this basic idea behind the play?
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the main character is Yogi Berra. And he's now being played by Peter Scolari, who is just incredible in terms of playing the character, finding the essence of who he is, being a leader for the team and for the ensemble. And so we're in very good, capable hands. And with that, we've all helped develop the play, but he's really stepped in and been like, if I'm going to take on this central figure, I really need to connect the dots in a way that hadn't really been done before with the play, which was a necessity between the off-Broadway and Broadway run. So, yeah, anyway, point is that it's been an incredible journey, and we're at a place where everyone feels really good about it.
So from when you guys closed off-Broadway to, I guess, when you started previews, How much work did you, were you guys like in rehearsals and just changing the show around while, sort of in that period?
Well, the playwright is also the director. So, and he also did Lombardi and Magic Bird. He wrote all three of those plays. He had also worked with the same producers through this process. And with that, I think there was no shortage of notes to be taken from the off-Broadway run. I mean, he was also taking notes from, well, the Yankees were involved, Major League Baseball is involved. So, you know, they're lending their brand and they, you know, also have a stake in it. To what degree, I'm not really sure, but, he's getting it from a lot of sides.
Uh-huh.
So, in that way, you know, he goes away, works on the play some more, comes back, and then we jump back into rehearsal and, you know, kind of start from scratch again. So that was pretty interesting. That was a pretty interesting process too for, as an actor, like, oh, I did this role and yet it's, the play is different, the role is different, the energy is different, the blocking has all changed, there's new lines everywhere. So all that was was like starting over, basically. It was like starting from scratch.
You know, I was going to ask you, because I didn't know, like, you guys had changed the show around, but, like, I was going to ask you if you tweaked your performance from then to the move on Broadway, but you totally did. Had to.
Yeah, it's definitely evolved, and and grown. And, you know, there's also that thing of just kind of when you work on something and you're really close to it, then you can step away from it for a while and then come back at it with fresh eyes. That also, I think, plays into it as well. And it's kind of cool to kind of go back into it and be like, oh, right, yeah, okay. But maybe it's this over here. Or do they want to try something different? Or, yeah, it's just good to kind of step back and kind of, you know, breathe a little bit and then go back in.
What kind of research did you end up doing?
Oh, man, you know, it's just so much out there. It's funny because a guy like, so I'm playing Joe DiMaggio, and he's got, you know, not only was he considered one of the greatest baseballs ever to play, baseball players to play the game, but he also, you know, had that kind of mystique about him from, you know, kind of the circles that he ran in while he was kind of in his prime with Marilyn Monroe, obviously, and the Kennedys and Sinatra, you know, Rat Pack. And so he was just a fascinating guy. But yeah, I guess in terms of research, I started with the classic Ken Burns did this huge documentary on baseball, like 22 hours of baseball. And so it just gives you this incredibly detailed overview of the history of the game and the specifics of how it evolved over time. And DiMaggio playing when he did in the 40s, you know, it was such a different era, such a different time for the game, and it was, you know, during World War II and the whole thing. So, yeah, the documentary really put a lot of things in perspective. But there are no shortage of biographies and other documentaries, and I kind of went in with biographies about DiMaggio as well as Marilyn Monroe. It's always interesting to sort of read from, you know, a biographer's point of view from the Marilyn perspective about what was going on with her and DiMaggio. And yeah, so it was multi-tiered in terms of research, and that was a lot of fun. I mean, and I'm still reading stuff as well, which is, in fact, this past Tuesday was the 60th anniversary of their wedding. That was kind of interesting. Yeah, like 60 years ago? Seems incredible.
That seems like forever, but like it doesn't, like in my mind, it doesn't seem like, just because I was, you know, growing up, I was fascinated with Marilyn Monroe, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So it just doesn't seem that long ago, but wow.
I know. That's how it hit me too. I was like, that can't be right. 60?
I think we're just getting old.
I know. That was exactly my second thought too. I thought, oh, that's an indication. Okay, all right, we'll leave that one alone.
The opening preview, and are you? Because I would assume you're just looking forward to this moment of being on Broadway, you know, and forever. But are you like equal parts nervous and excited, and what are your like thoughts that day? You know.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because my official Broadway debut, I guess, would be my first preview, which was just a week ago today.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still very fresh, and we're still getting used to audiences, and yeah, I have to say, like, you know, I was kind of definitely ready to perform it and ready to be in front of people and embrace the play, but there was a little bit of an energy that night of stepping back and kind of acknowledging the fact that it was my Broadway debut and that it is one of those things that only happens once and then you sort of move forward. But yeah, it was a little bit of an extra. There was some adrenaline, I think, and some nervousness, I guess, in some degree. But mostly it was like a celebration. We went out afterwards and toasted to it. And I think I'm the only one in the cast. Yeah, I'm the only one in the cast with it who's having his debut. So in that way too, it was nice to sort of be now in the club, and as it were, or at least, you know, just sort of getting through that and being like, yeah, now we can just move forward and be like, okay, let's keep working on a play. But I will say too, the interesting side note is that I went to school when I first came to New York at Circle in the Square, where it's playing right now, for a year. They have a theater school there. So it's truly one of those situations where I'm coming full circle. Yeah, the pun intended. It's always kind of interesting because I'm very aware of the sort of ghosts that are in the theater as well from like when did I come to the city in 95. So it's been, you know, almost 18 years, which is just crazy to think about. But
wow.
Just kind of wandering around in those halls and being like, right, I remember being a kid and being here and watching theater on the main stage and wondering if it would ever happen and you know, this week kind of celebrating that.
You grew up in Green Bay, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you go from Green Bay to New York?
It was kind of a circuitous route.
First I have to ask, are you a Packers fan?
Of course, yeah.
Sorry about last week, though.
Yeah, no, that was a rough week. Are you from California? Are you?
I'm actually from Maryland, so I'm a huge massive Redskins fan. And
oh, nice.
So you should be proud. I mean, you guys are always showing up. Redskins are just completely awful. So.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers just did a number on the Packers once again, which was just brutal. It's hard to talk about.
We're just leaving it down, Ben.
yeah, exactly. But, I'm from Green Bay, and, you know, I growing up, I guess I would say I always knew I was going to be, I always felt like there was something larger out there for me. I didn't know what it was, but I was never really somebody who was just sort of satisfied with what was there. I grew up in a small town, and it was I had a great experience growing up, but I always wanted to get out, and I studied overseas, in London at one point, in undergrad, and then, from there, I met a friend who lived in Boston, and then I ended up, when I graduated from college, just visiting him, and then ended up staying and getting involved with some acting there. And after a couple of years, I was like, I think I actually am really interested in following through on this as a career, but I had never really studied it in school. And so I thought, well, if I'm actually going to pursue this, I want to do it. I want to learn a craft. I want to learn what the hell acting is. So, I ended up auditioning for Circle in the Square while I was living in Boston. And, and so that brought me to New York. And then the irony was I was still auditioning for different schools and ended up going to the Yale Drama School after a year of being at Circle in the Square. So then I had to leave New York for 3 years, and then I came back. So my official kind of New York debut is in 1999 when I graduated from Yale.
How was Yale?
It was great. I mean, the thing about Yale, which is really cool, is that not only is the caliber at a certain level, but you also are mingling with designers and playwrights and directors and managers and, other actors as well. So you're not kind of just in this acting program. You're in a theater program that, really concentrates on building theater from the ground up and then tearing it down and starting over again. So they're not as, at least in my time, what I liked about it was it wasn't so, focused on classes as it was just doing, just getting up and learning it, tearing it down, doing it again. I think I did like 26 shows in 3 years.
Whoa.
It was one of those things where you're just, exhausted beyond anything you can imagine at the time, and knowing that you had this window of time to do it in, and you know, some are big shows and some are small shows, some are little workshops, but it was, you know, you're still getting up in front of people and learning how to stand on stage in the right place and feel out blocking and learning your lines and adjusting in the moment. So yeah, all those things were really, really incredible, an incredible experience.
Do you recommend actors go to college or some kind of program like that?
Well, yeah, so that's an MFA program, and I mean, it's really, for me, because I never really studied it, it was important for me to kind of just understand what I was getting myself into and wanting a sense of, I don't know if legitimacy is the right word, but I just wanted to sort of be under an umbrella first, to just see whether or not it was something I was really wanting to pursue. But some people I think are just like, you know, just incredibly naturally talented and just, you know, like, you don't need school. What you need to do is get out and work. And, you know, that's going to be your school. And I know plenty of those people as well. And, so it's really, I guess, individual. Yeah, for me, it was really a great thing to do. And it gave me the confidence to go into the industry.
You know, in getting ready for this interview, doing my research, it seems like, and I could be wrong, but it seems like you've never really been out of work, especially in the past couple of years. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a good few years for sure. And like I was saying earlier, I'm also, you know, there's never too much work for an actor, but well, for 99.9% of us. But you know, I've diversified a lot too, which has been really good. I mean, I've just started, I mean, for instance, one example would be that I just started getting involved in the audiobook narration world, which is sort of like an interesting little niche, but it's also a great kind of day job for actors, you know, who you know, like me, who's kind of pounding the pavement and in between jobs, or if they're doing theater at night, they can record during the day in the studio. And, you know, so there's that. You know, I teach once in a while, do coaching and that kind of thing, and voiceovers and commercials and, you know, yeah, it's just all over the map. But, you know, if there's anything I've learned, diversification is key in order to keep you know, paying the bills on a week-to-week basis.
One of my questions that I usually ask is, what's your advice to actors? But since you also teach, what is, I guess, the one thing, or the one thing you mostly notice when you see actors come to you? Like, what are they, I guess, doing wrong, or what can they do better?
Yeah, I mean, I guess when I think of, you know, really young or inexperienced actors, you know, a lot of times it's like, I really want to be a movie star. I want to go to, you know, but I want to, you know, I want to be on Broadway. And it's like, you know, yeah, that's a great vision for yourself. But at the same time, let's just quiet down all those thoughts and just start from the very beginning and sort of just see how we do with listening and responding and those kind of basic things of acting, and see if you're interested in just the craft of it, you know, the idea behind it. Like, is it the fame and the celebrityism that you want, or is it actually kind of the life of an actor that you want? So that's the kind of stuff that I sort of start with, I think.
I just started doing theater again, improv, and it's every other Saturday, every, you know, couple Saturdays. But I don't remember me doing this when I did theater like all the time. But I have to be in the theater like 7, and throughout the day, I'm constantly looking at my watch, making sure I don't fall into some sort of time void where I've like missed my call or something like that. And I'm like a mental patient about that. Are you like that, or is it just me?
Yeah, I can get a little bit like that, actually. You know, you know, I have a hard time sleeping sometimes. If I know I have a call time in the morning, it's like, oh my God, it's impossible for me to get to sleep because I'm so paranoid about my alarm not going off or something. But, yeah, I mean, I know it's a funny thing how adrenaline works and sort of performing works on your body. And, yeah, I think that's what I feed off of as an actor and what got me interested in the first place. And something like, well, the highs can be really high and the lows can be low, but I mean, there's a spectrum that covers so much ground that very few people, I think, get the opportunity. And I find myself incredibly lucky to call myself an actor.
Okay, my final question is, what's the worst audition you've had?
That's easy. I had an audition not too long ago, actually. It was last year, but it was for an off Broadway production downtown New York. But the director was in London, so they Skyped the audition. And what that means is that I was on the stage with my scene, and there was an intern walking around on stage with me with a laptop, and this woman from Britain sort of trying to communicate notes based on what she's seeing through her computer. And of course there was this sound delay, and it was just a complete train wreck. And she you know, she was apologetic, but still I just walked away, not humiliated, but just kind of chuckling, being like, that is the most absurd audition of my career, bar none. That's but cool. It's like technology, you know, it's that time, right? This age that we're living in now, it's so unique that some of that stuff works sometimes and sometimes not. So, yeah. I mean, the idea may make sense, but the follow-through is just disastrous.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to people who have done Skype auditions and have put themselves on tape through their phones, you know? It's just it's nuts.
Yeah. Well, and in that particular case, because it was a theater audition, you're not just kind of sitting at a table or sitting on a couch kind of you know, doing a scene with a computer, but you're literally like on stage running around, and so there's this person following you through. It was just completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel for you.
It was like a Christopher Guest spot, you know, like a skit. Yeah.
Thanks, Chris, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Follow me on Twitter at Daily Actor and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Actor. Thanks for supporting the advertisers, because without them, this would not be possible. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.